In the barony of Castakin, evil is rising. Creatures born of mud, stone, and bone have appeared. Politics keep the powers that be from taking action against this threat. The barony needs heroes. In the far-off hamlet of Hovel's Way, two childhood friends, bound by dreaming stars, may be the heroes that the barony needs. This is their story. The story of the heroes of Hovel's Way. Odine Dahlia Celestine is played by Angela Murray.
You can hear the echoes of Noelle in her voice as she basically gives you a quick lesson on what Titan Shards are.
Aramon Durant is played by Jared Rasher.
You found books. I found this.
And the Dungeon Master is Chris Snezak.
His hair is like all standing on end and he's like got wide eyes as he sees Aramon's like face is like covered in blood. That could have been me. That might have killed me.
Aramon will very awkwardly like facepalm himself, basically.
Aramon, you should probably do that thing that you do with the hands to yourself. And she's like doing jazz hands.
Now, we begin.
The starry radiance of the arrow hits it, explodes within it, and the mud just, like, it almost dissolves before it can even hit the ground.
And then you were left alone in the room with the magical broken ward in the middle of the room again.
I don't like those things.
No. I am sorry I couldn't have taken care of those so that didn't interrupt your spell.
That's okay. And she's going to walk over and like hold up a hand for Monty to kind of high five.
He high fives. He's like, did you see me like jump up and parkour off that wall and then land on Aramon's shoulder?
You were awesome. Aramon, tell him he was awesome.
You were quite awesome. I would love to at some point go back to the village and explain to my father how to incorporate this into a fighting style and watch his eyes roll in his head.
Monty gives you like a thumbs up with the starlight claws and then the starlight fades away. It's like, aw, do it again. Do it again.
Not yet.
Okay.
But she is going to go back to doing the detect magic to do the arcana on the door. And I got a 17 on the roll.
The ward is against elementals like the slurk.
Ah, so we can go through the door, theoretically.
Theoretically. Is your starry form still up?
No, it wouldn't be because the ritual casting of detect magic takes 10 minutes. And if the spell can only last 10 minutes, it will fade just as she does this and reaches out to touch the door.
So you did roll 17 arcana. I'm going to tell you a few things. So you reach out, you touch the door, and you can feel a little bit of like magical resistance against your touch. And then you manage to push it open. And you're pretty sure that your starry form is partially elemental in nature.
Okay.
Like you are drawing on not just the power of the stars, but the what this world has is domains, the domain of power that is considered light. You said that the form is over,
yeah.
Right? Like, so you managed to push it open, like no problem because you're not in your starry form, but you get the sense that if you tried to, it would have hurt you. Also, that your starry form is elemental in nature.
Yeah, she's tucking that away in the back of her head to kind of ponder.
You find yourself a hallway with three doors.
Are they just solid wood doors or are they stone doors?
These are all made of metal.
Metal?
The door you just opened was made of metal.
If this is a prison, they don't have any sort of sliding thing to let you look in them or anything, do they?
No, they just like metal doors. Also, you're pretty sure that ward is so big that if it was holding something in a prison, it would be bigger than this little hallway would be holding.
Okay. Well, she'll look at Aramond and then gesture towards the hallway. Since he'd probably get mad if she started going first without him.
I will walk through the doors. I will turn back to Odie. Which one do you want me to open?
Make a guess.
I will go right.
You open this door, and it is a small room. There is a bed in here that looks like the stone chairs that you saw in the other room. There is a desk. There's a couple of books on the desk. There is also a couple of drawers on that desk. There is a nightstand next to the bed, and there is what looks like a wardrobe on the southern wall, all made of stone.
I'm going to walk in and tell Odie, watch this. This is what the chair did, but I don't think you could see it as well. And I'm going to lay down on the bed and see if I sink down into it.
It does. It like conforms itself to your body. It's very comfortable, even though it's made of stone.
Odie stares at him for a moment. Oh my God, there's books on the desk. I mean, the bed is cool, but books.
Start pouring through the books.
Yes.
These are written in an old script. Some of it's in Zithian, not the magical Zithian language, just like their actual language. You know a little bit of, because of all the books that Noelle has made you read. If you want, you can make a history check or some other check to try to figure out what it says.
I will roll history.
By the way, this takes about, you know, you have to sit here and do this for about 15, 20 minutes, right? To get like, it's a journal of some sort. It's handwritten notes. If you don't get it now, you can try again later and the DC's easier.
I'm actually going to spend 3 luck and re-roll.
Sure thing. You can't currently read it. You just need to spend some more time with it. That's
yeah,
all.
My first roll was a 9, and my purchased re-roll was a 6.
Terrible, right? Just awful.
While she is trying to read that, I am just like going into different poses, like laying on one side, laying on the other side, laying on my back, laying on my front, just to see how quickly the bed can shift between the different postures.
Pretty quickly. Like, it's not instantaneous, but it obviously feels you moving and then just starts shifting to your movements. So you have 2 books there, 2 journals. You can write that on your character sheet somewhere.
You know, you could check the wardrobe.
Yes, I just wanted to make sure there was nothing we needed to know about the bed. And I will walk over to the wardrobe and see if I can open it.
You can. There is a robe in there. It is dark blue and has white or silver cuffs. You're not really sure in this light. They shimmer a little bit, though. There's also a box in the bottom of the wardrobe. It is wood.
I will set the robes onto the bed and then reach down to the box and see if I can open it up.
You can. It is about the size of a shoebox, if we're going to use the real world to compare. When you open it up, there is a glowing red crystal shard that is about the size of your hand inside of it. You know that these are Titan shards.
You found books. I found this.
That looks important.
I'm not sure what Odie knows about Titan shards. If Odie wants, Odie can make a history check to see what she knows currently about Titan shards, what she's learned from Noelle.
Well, this time I got a natural 20, so that's a 24.
All right. From the books that you read at Noelle's place, and from all the studying you've been doing the most of your life and just having chats with Noelle, the Scythians used elementals to power their magic. Many of the Titan shards are remnants of elementals that lost their lives and then condensed themselves into magical shards to be used by their friends and loved ones during the Titan War. So that Titan shard is probably the condensed essence of an elemental. And maybe it's been refined to be able to cast spells, or maybe it's just a power source for spells.
Odie is, you know, as she was struggling to read these journals, and as Aramon finds the shard, she's closing it, and she just looks at it, her eyes are wide, and she basically begins doing the lecturing. Like, you can hear the echoes of Noelle in her voice as she basically gives you a quick lesson on what Titan shards are. So this one may have the ability to cast spells, or it may just be power, or it may be something, but it is the condensed soul of an elemental that gave its life for its loved ones.
To go on further with that, a lot of mages keep these as part of like their spell books. They incorporate them into them. I mean, the Titan shards are their spells, essentially. They keep them, they cast their spells through them. That's what a lot of arcane mages use them for. Also, some of these crystals are used to embed into weapons and armor and other items to create magic items. That's how magic items are made in this world.
That is very important and valuable. And the robe looks nice.
Also, because it's red, you're pretty sure it's fire.
Can you guess what element that is, Aramon?
If I say it looks hot, am I right?
Can I say you're getting warmer?
So these have something to do with what wizards do. Do they just like throw these at something and they blow up, or how does that work?
I don't think it's that way. I think it's they basically hold on. Like, it's either something they hold, or it's worked into a device or a tool, or like it could be worked into a sword and give you a flaming sword. Most wizards will use it to channel. They'll use it to move the magic into doing what they're asking it to do.
And I think through his normal obtuseness, as soon as this shifts towards like, this is what you would put into like armor or weapons in order to enchant them, he remembers his father talking about these a little bit more. Not necessarily understanding a lot about them, but at least getting the gist that, yeah, you would probably merge these with something to make it a more effective weapon or armor.
The big story is the King of Rook has a sword known as the Giant Slayer, and it's called that because it can cut down large trees with like a single stroke. Even been rumored in the past to cut down large like earth elementals and creatures like that when they've appeared. And that's a pretty famous or infamous weapon depending on where you're coming from.
he's not entirely expecting anything to come of this, but just like when Odie's not looking, he's going to like tap the crystal on his sword just to see if it like merges automatically.
Nope.
We need to bring that with us.
Of course.
And I mean, the robe is nice too.
I mean, yes, I'm not really much one for robes, but yeah.
If you want to make an arcana check, Odie, you can about the Titan Shard.
Only got a 10 this time.
That's okay. 10's all you need. This is not the most complicated information that you would get. The bigger ones like this tend to have the ability to cast spells from them. You can usually use them a certain number of times per day before they need to take some time to recharge. The littler ones, there are smaller ones that are more like gem-sized, like the size of like if you put your fingers in a circle. Those ones are the ones that often get embedded into weapons. Although sometimes these larger Titan Shards are forged into armor and weapons to create more powerful magic items that require skilled smiths to do so.
Yeah, you need a skilled artisan to make it a weapon.
I was just wondering. I wasn't sure. Like, maybe somebody tells it that someday you're going to touch a weapon and then you'll be happy together. But apparently that's not how that works.
But with that 10, you're pretty sure, Odie, that if you took that shard, you could cast some sort of spell from that shard. You're just not sure what it is.
Odie's thinking that this is something she's going to sit down with later.
It's fair.
We'll check the drawers in the desk before moving on.
When you check the drawers in the desk, there is some paper, some quills, an inkwell. One of the drawers is actually locked.
Hmm.
It's got an arcane lock on it of some sort.
Can you get through an arcane lock with normal sleight of hand?
Yes, it's just generally harder.
Okay. So Odie is going to... This one is locked. This one has some normal stuff in it, but it doesn't look like there's any writing on any of these papers. But I can't get into this one. At which point, Monty's going to go over and start pawing at it. Because he actually has sleight of hand.
Have him roll. Yeah, that's bad. That's actually bad.
Monty rolled a 1.
So Monty's picking up the lock. And you hear Monty's like, I think I can get it. Like, this is interesting. Like, oh, I feel the tumbler. Oh, there's like a thing. If I just scratch this off right here. He scratches it off and it starts glowing and getting brighter.
Oh, Monty, back off.
And getting
brighter.
I'm going
to grab him and pull him away.
Why doesn't everybody make a, everybody in the room make a dexterity saving throw? DC's 15.
Aramon gets but a humble 10.
That's it's bad for Aramon.
I don't think Monty gets any bonuses to his dexterity save.
Who rolled that 16?
That's Monty's.
You rolled 19. Yeah, you're both fine. You managed to both duck behind the bed or something. Unfortunately, Aramon's not paying attention. Takes 11 points of force damage.
All right.
There's just like a giant blast of energy that's backwards into the room. When you look, the one part of the desk is just destroyed.
Aramon, are you okay?
And he'll like sit up a little bit dazed. I think so. I don't think I've ever been hit by a desk before.
You're bleeding.
Oh. And he wipes it off. Actually, I think he is dazed enough that he wipes it off and he actually just like spreads it across his face.
Odie will probably, making sure that he's not about to expire, Odie will kind of walk over and look at the remains of the exploded desk.
It looks like there was a box in there, another wooden box, and inside of that wooden box are the remnants of 2 small gems. Maybe they were Titan shards, but they're destroyed now.
It's okay, Monty. We probably shouldn't have messed with the lock.
His hair is like all standing on end and he's like got wide eyes as he sees Aramon's like face is like covered in blood. That could have been me. That might have killed me.
Yeah, but it didn't and we're okay. So, Aramon, you should probably do that thing that you do with the hands to yourself. And she's like doing jazz hands.
Aramon will very awkwardly, like, facepalm himself, basically.
I just want to set the scene real quick with the camera work. Like, Odie says that and does jazz hands, and then Monty, like, on her shoulder also does jazz claws, and then the camera flips to Aramon, who's, like, putting his hand on his face, and then it flicks back to Odie and Monty, who are just looking at each other like, what? Seems like a perfect description to me. That's what Monty says to you.
I am, just for emergency's sake, I am going to use 8 out of my 10 points that I can heal, so that in case I need to stabilize somebody, I still have a couple of hit points left over.
Sure thing. So what are we doing now, boss? Monty says to you, Odie.
We still don't know why this island is here, and the secret to that may be in here, so we should still keep exploring. So let's check one of the rooms across the hall.
Which one?
I will open this one.
It is another room similar to the one that you were just in, but smaller. There's no wardrobe. There is a desk. There is a bed. More importantly, there is a statue of a humanoid figure sitting on the bed, and it turns its head and looks at you as the door opens its eye, its one eye lighting up with a blue light. Hello.
Hello? I don't believe we have been acquainted. I am Aramon Durant.
I am 1729.
It's good to meet you, 1729.
That's an unusual name.
Have you come to release me from my duty or reassign me?
I don't know if we have the authority to do that.
What is your assignment?
To watch the warding station.
It looks like the warding station was recently hurt. Do you know what happened?
I do not. I have been here waiting to either be activated or relieved from my rest.
Would you be able to tell us what this facility purpose is?
Of course, as long as you give me the password.
Rutabaga.
Nobody's ever going to make their password rutabaga.
1729 looks at you, Odie, and looks back at Aramon. Isn't that a vegetable?
Yes.
It is a vegetable.
I wonder what it tastes like.
Oh, well, it tastes like, and Odie will go into this long description of what rutabaga actually tastes like.
1729 stands up, and he's not particularly tall, or they're not particularly tall. 5'8", 5'6", somewhere in there. You see the glowing lines, the purple and blue neon lines around them, too, going down their arms, up their chest, down their legs. Their one eye flashes between purple and blue at you. You are not Zithian, or you are descendant from Zithian?
The Zithians have been gone for centuries. We might be descended from Zithians, but the Zithian Empire disappeared, and Odie will rattle off how many years ago, because she would know that.
Yep, 600 years ago. It cocks its head to the side, then cocks its head to the other side, then it nods. So there is no one to give me orders.
No? Does this mean you can give yourself orders?
Not unless I have the password. And he sits back down. He looks at you. It was a flaw in the design if I had anything to say about it, but after the Titans gained sentience and started the war, us new models weren't given as much autonomy.
Can you tell us where we could find the password?
Miss Emily lived across the way. She would have had the password.
I have Miss Emily's books, but I couldn't read them.
If you show them to me, I can maybe help you.
Just like out of the blue, Aramon's going to say, baguette.
Monty looks at you and starts chirping, and you can hear Monty saying, I want a baguette. Can I have a baguette?
I think Odie is going to take a moment and look at this person. Automaton, and try and judge if they're my feeling based on the scene is that this is just some sort of sad soul that's trapped here. I would like to do an insight roll to see if that's what Odie gets.
Sure.
She got a 12.
Follow it up with an arcana check.
That's a 9, which I could turn into a 10 or an 11.
If you turn into a 10, that'll help.
Okay.
Based on what you're guessing and how magic works in this world, this construct probably is being inhabited by an elemental.
Okay.
Like, that's what's powering it. That might be what the personality that's come forward is. They do seem sad.
Okay.
Like, they're stuck. They've probably been stuck down here for 600 years. The 12 just gives you that, yes, they are a sad soul. They obviously want to not be here.
She'll have that moment of hesitation as Aramon and Monty are behind her discussing baguettes. And then she'll, look him over, and she'll ask, what type of elemental were you before?
I was water.
I like water. And she'll walk over and show him the books.
They look through the books. They stop at a page. If you can understand this, you can help me.
And Odie will look at it and see if she can interpret the word.
Yeah, it doesn't take you very long. It's just one word. I'll let you pick it.
Cerulean.
When you say that, 1729 looks at you. How may I be of service?
Hello, 1729. I'm Odie. This is Aramon. And this is Monty.
It is a pleasure to meet you all.
I was going to say blueberry next. Would that have counted?
I mean, no.
Okay, I was just checking.
1729, you get the sense, Odie, doesn't know what to make of Aramon.
She'll just kind of do a side stage whisper. We don't let him pick the passwords.
1729 nods.
1729, would you assist us in coming to understand what this place is?
Of course. What would you like to know?
What is the purpose of this place?
It is one of the warding facilities to keep Valhalmor's the Mountain Strangler contained.
Could the Mountain Strangler get free because the crystals in the other room are broken?
No, it would require the failing of at least four of the stations.
Is this station considered a failure now that that's broken?
It would be, yes.
I'm going to explain to you the situation we are in, and I'm hoping you can help give us some additional information.
I would be happy to.
We started seeing mud monsters coming up and rock monsters in the forest, and we learned that these were slurgs, and they're starting to become more of a problem.
Miss Slurgs are the minions of Valhalmoris the Mountain Strangler.
We basically have gone on a journey to find out what is happening. We have faced slurgs, we have faced bandits, we have faced a man who could turn into shadow, who was then killed by a more powerful slurg. This location is an island that was beneath the waters of the lake, but has recently appeared within the last 2 weeks. And it's obvious that some slurgs came in and damaged the crystals, but couldn't get past the doors.
I did feel the station rising from the depths.
Do you know what would have triggered it to rise from the depths?
Any number of things. Someone could have called it. The magic of this world is becoming stronger again. Maybe Valhalmoris the Mountain Strangler's influence allowed him to raise it himself. I am not 100% sure.
She'll look to Aramon. What else should we ask?
Perhaps we should find out where the rest of these stations are to make sure that they remain secure.
You know where the other stations are, 1729?
I knew where they were at one point in time, but I don't have a map. I couldn't tell you. I mean, unless I saw that and could compare it to, you said centuries have passed? I would have to see.
And if I remember the histories correctly, the land changed fairly dramatically because of the wars that ended the Zenithian Empire.
It did.
Can you show us what's the rest of this place? And what's here?
Absolutely.
We kind of had a desk blow up on us.
It was common for the Zithians to ward their personal belongings. 1729 stands up and starts walking past you.
If we were to ask you to leave this facility with us, would you be able to?
Yes, I would. Miss Odie has the password. She can ask me to do many things now.
What do you want? Do you want to leave?
I would like to leave. I would also like to be of service.
Then, 1729... when we are finished here, would you please come with us?
Yes.
Do you sink? Are you all metal? Because we're going to have to get on a boat to leave here.
I'm made of stone, primarily.
We'll figure it out.
Although my core is that of water. I believe it is what the Zithians called a Titan shard.
Oh, are you happy with being called 1729, or would you like to be called something else?
It is a fine name. If you wish to change it, I would not have a problem. I will have to warn you, do not let anybody know my password. They could easily then command me.
Okay. And she'll turn and look at Aramon and Monty and like, you heard that. No one can know that word.
That's fine.
Do you even remember what the word is?
I vaguely remember it was connected to blueberry in some way, shape, or form, but it was not blueberry.
Exactly. And she looks at Monty too, right?
Yeah, it's fine. Besides, I'm a raccoon. Who can understand me?
Well, I can.
Besides other druids, I suppose. I guess other druids could. Yeah, I won't say anything. Do we have to call them 1729? That's like a lot of numbers.
It's just a bunch of syllables. We've known other people with names with lots of syllables.
Yeah, that's true.
The Baroness of Castakin. That's a lot of syllables.
Isn't her name Lilhava?
Yeah, but there's other names there too. So we're going to use 1729 until we figure out something else.
Okay, sounds good.
And it's not going to be Baguette.
I mean, it would be easy to remember.
Small one is quite wordy, isn't he?
Can you understand the small one?
Yes.
See, Monty?
Most elementals can speak with the animals of nature.
Oh, okay. And that gives Odie pause. Because she has always been able to understand the animals. Okay, let's go see what the other rooms here are.
Across the way was the room of Miss Emily. This room right here is Mr. Scott's room that I am in. This room right here is Miss Page's room.
Well, is there anything else in Scott's room?
Yeah, there is, if you look in the desk drawer, there is one of those boxes, and if you open the box, there is a bluish-white gem that is a Titan shard.
Hey.
It's a small one.
We'll take that, and then I guess we'll go check Paige's room.
Paige's room is the same setup as Scott's room. You look around it, there's another lock on the desk drawer.
1729, do you know how to open these without making them explode?
I unfortunately do not have the way to open Miss Page's personal space.
I just don't want to blow us up again.
I would like to avoid that as well.
I don't blame you.
Okay, why don't you stay out here, and Monty and I will go in and we'll see if we can do it.
Well, I don't want you to put yourself in danger without me putting myself in danger.
No, it's okay. It's okay. This time I'm going to cast Guidance on Monty.
Okay. I'll try to remember that in the future to remind you if I forget, because it would just be something that Odie would do all the time.
So, total of 16.
Monty actually manages to pick the lock and disable the arcane rune that's on there. A little bit of guidance from you, a little bit of help as you two talk through it, what you're seeing.
And this time we get it open.
There's a box in there, and there are three stones inside of this. They're all the same small gem-sized stones. One of them is red. One of them is icy blue. The other one is a darker brownish color.
Well, I stow that carefully away, give Monty a good scritch, and then I guess we can go check out the other door. Is there much more to this place, 1729?
There is not. In fact, behind the other door is where this room wasn't always a warding station for Valhalla Morris. We used to draw elementals from the domains here, and then they would use them to help power their magic.
Oh.
That is how I came to be here.
And what's behind the other door?
That's what's behind the other door.
Oh,
the room that did that.
I kind of want to see it.
You may.
There's also a device there that descends down to the ascending and descending machine that raises and lowers the island.
Oh, well, we should probably look at that and maybe, I don't know, see if there's mud down there. Did the slurgs raise the machine? Because they could get there. No, they couldn't get through that door. Because that door, yeah.
When you walk back into the room with the warding crystal, the giant latticework of crystal, that was the giant warding device, you can see the magic that's arcing around is getting worse and worse.
Oh.
You're guessing it had something to do with the explosion from the desk as more of the crystals have fallen apart. 1729 looks at it and says, "This seems to be a problem. This will go critical within the hour."
Okay. Let's just poke our head in the other room and I just want to see it. And then we can get out of here and signal the captain and get the boat. And because the island's probably going to blow up and sink, right?
Yes. Maybe even worse.
Worse? What could be worse?
It could explode and take out a good 20-mile area.
Oh, well, we need to stop it then. How do we stop it?
This was Chapter 6 of The Heroes of Hobble's Way, 1729. Angela Murray played Odie. Jared Rasher played Aramon. Christopher Snezak played everyone and everything else. Music and sound effects were from Storyblocks and Envato. We look forward to bringing you more of this actual play series. If you'd like to interact with us, you can check out our Discord server. There is a link in our show notes. You can also help by becoming a patron. Each episode, I'll be giving a DM commentary on the choices I make called Chris's Hobble. I'll be talking about the game, plus I'll probably be talking a little bit about the editing and sound design if you're interested in that. Also, there are at least bi-weekly PDF content releases. You can get that at patreon.com/THAC0WA. That's patreon.com/Thakowa. You can check it out with a free 7-day membership and stick around if you want for $5 a month. This helps us make this show and Thaka with Advantage, the fantasy-focused RPG advice show Ange and Jared host. Speaking of patrons, I'd like to thank some of ours. David Ridout, Jared Rasher, Matea the Sorceress, The Polish Ogre, Doug Rass, and Victor Wyatt. Thank you so much for being our patrons so that we can make this show and others. Finally, we're part of the Polygamerist Podcast Network, where we want to help you play your best games. If you enjoyed The Heroes of Hobble's Way, you might want to check out MM Play's season of Children of the Shroud. That's our high school urban fantasy game. The whole series is currently out and is edited very much like this one. Finally, I'd like to say thank you for listening, and if you ever meet a construct in a dungeon, it might be worth it to say hi. They might be nice.